Little River Band was one of my favorite groups growing up. I mean, you know, one of my favorite songs ever is Reminiscing, and I cannot believe it, but folks out there, I'm sure you all know the song Reminiscing, and that has garnered over 5 million airplays on American radio. That's amazing.
It's a stunning statistic. I mean, it ranks right up there with, you know, other of many of our heroes. I mean, from Elvis to Beatles to Billy Joel and Elton John and so on and so forth, Reminiscing is in that same league of being played. As a matter of fact, as it was an Australian songwriter, it's the most played song ever by any Australian writer. And second to that is Lady, which is, you know, has passed 4 million and is on its way to 5. So it's quite amazing airplay for those two songs, for sure.
It is amazing. And you guys are now, this is making me feel very, very old, but you guys are now doing your 40th anniversary tour?
Yes, the band is has hung together and existed for 40 years this year, and so far we've got about 50, 60 shows booked and still coming in. So it's knock on wood, we're very blessed.
Now, you've been with the band for 30 years or so, right?
35 this year.
35, yep. Wow, okay. So
yeah.
Who exactly, if any, are there any originals still in the band, original founders?
There are no founding members left. I was the one and only American added to the Australian band. And of course, original to music from 1980 on. So that's the thread back to those people that had founded the band in Australia. But no, they over the years, they've all decided to leave. One of the biggest contributing factors is the fact that Australia is, you know, 8,000-9,000 miles away, and just the travel and the being away from home and the distance has been a factor when people decided they'd had enough, they, you know, didn't want to make that travel or didn't want to make that commitment. But this goes back, 34 years ago, people were starting to leave the band. So there's been a long history of people coming and going, but all of the founding Australian members have left.
Well, I can tell you that the band still sounds great, and in fact, there's an album that I have here called "Cuts Like a Diamond." Really love it a lot. It's some great stuff. And one of the songs I want to talk to you about, because it's very deep. It's called "The Lost and the Lonely." Tell us a little bit about that tune.
Lost and Lonely was a song written by somebody outside the band, and as soon as it came to us, I knew that it was a statement that I felt very strongly about and wanted to make. It's the way we introduce it every night. It's literally about the choice of a person deciding they want to put on a uniform and help do something good for people who are lost and lonely, and go out and try to take care of people that don't have the means to take care of themselves. And I mean that across the board. The uniform could be police, could be a first responder. But the film clip that the record label put together for us basically focuses on young people signing up for the military. Mm-hmm. All over the world. I mean, it has Australian troops, it has Italian troops, American troops, so on and so forth. And the further we get in this crazy world, the more we hear people come up to us and say what the band's music has meant to them over the years, being involved in those situations and being away and being in harm's way. And when the song came to us, I just knew that it was something very strong that I felt Little River Band should say in its 39th year when we put the CD out. It immediately started getting standing ovations at shows, and as a new song, that is virtually unheard of. Mm. All of our music that are hit songs now have been a new song on stage at one point or other, and to be part of that, the reception is usually polite or lukewarm or whatever until people get used to hearing something new from one of their favorite bands. But Lost and Lonely just hits people square in the face every night, and so many people that there are parents of those kids or have just come back from doing their tour of duty. And so the song has a lot of power and a lot of meaning to everybody during the show.
It's interesting because, again, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Billy Ray Cyrus and his song Some Gave All, which has come to, you know, honor fallen soldiers. And when you have things like what happened yesterday with the helicopter and American soldiers dying, these kind of things come right back and they really mean a lot. But the other thing I thought that we should point out here is that 100% of the proceeds from the track, The Lost and the Lonely, are being dedicated to the Green Beret Foundation. That's a wonderful thing.
It is indeed, and yes, every download for the year 2015, our proceeds from those downloads are going to go right back to the Green Beret Foundation. It's a new relationship for us. We've done shows in the past for other veterans organizations like Wounded Warriors and so on and so forth. But I got an education, was introduced to the Green Beret Foundation. I didn't even know that Green Berets were still in existence. That to me was a connection to the Vietnam War back in '60s and '70s. But they're there and they're working under the absolute worst conditions possible because they're sent in to do things basically under the radar. And when they come back out, it's like the Army's version of the Navy SEALs, only they have no support from the outside world. They're literally dropped into a situation and they have to deal with it and get out on their own. It's an amazing group of people, and the dedication to, you know, to serving the world and serving freedom is just amazing. So we're very proud to be aligned with them, and hope to do some actual live events with, you know, members of the group sometime later in the year.
That would be really cool. You know, one of the things I thought was really interesting when I was reading your biography, we're talking with Wayne Nelson from the Little River Band. You were actually on tour with Jim Messina opening up for Little River Band. And then shortly thereafter, they actually asked you to join the band.
They did. We opened for 2 weeks with the band, which is that's a long stretch. If there's a big tour booked, a lot of times bands want that repetition and consistency with the opening acts. No surprises. Everybody knows everybody, and everything runs smoothly. You know, setting up and tearing down and everything. So it was a great opportunity. The Messina Band, it was the main touring that we did was that 2 weeks after doing Jimmy's first solo record. And we played for 2 weeks. We were the Little River Band, was their bass player had just resigned, and they were using a touring studio player who didn't sing. And they were looking for a permanent replacement to fill the bass chair. And so they were basically auditioning me for the whole 2 weeks without my knowledge. And then at the end of it, asked if I would want to come rehearse, tour, record, and just take each thing a step at a time and gradually work my way into being a band member. Now the leadership of the band has landed in America because obviously that's where most of our success is. But I was definitely in the right place at the right time. There's no question about that.
That's kind of cool because not only did you play bass, but then you started singing for them and actually did the lead of the Night Owls and Sheer lead in Take It Easy on Me. So you've been involved in some of their later hits too.
Well, absolutely, and the cool thing about those two songs, at the point when we made them, we weren't even aware that this was occurring, but we were the first band in charting statistics, whatever, Billboard and Cashbox and so on. We were the first band to have a top 10 single 6 years in a row, and of course, at year four, we didn't even know it. It was... We found out about it after we passed that milestone. But Night Owls was, you know, was the top 10 hit in the fifth year, and Take It Easy on Me was the top 10 hit in the sixth year. So to have contributed and been part of the band at that point and joined up to, you know, to continue that string of hits is quite an honor. And that record was recorded with George Martin, who was the producer of the Beatles, at his studio in Montserrat. So it was all very a very fast rise to you know, suddenly being top five in America with Night Owls. It was quite an experience.
Talking about experiences, I got to ask you this, Wayne. I can't even believe that you guys did this, because I didn't remember reading about it. But there was a concert in Germany. You guys played with Fleetwood Mac and Bob Marley in front of 120,000 people. What was that like?
Well, that was part of the the crazy experience. That was my first major show with the band. We had done some shows in Australia, you know, to warm up and played some pubs and small venues down there just to get acclimated. And we went to Germany, and we went to Olympic Stadium in Munich, obviously a place in history for what happened there. And there were literally 120,000 people, and it was a spring festival, and it was nasty. I mean, it was probably 45, 50 degrees, rain, just mud. It was ugly down front. And there were a couple other artists. We went out to play, and I kid you not, the clouds parted for 1 hour, and the sun beat down, and everybody was just kind of cruising and having a great time and listening to the Little River Band. We got done, clouds came back in, and it rained the rest of the day. They stuck it out. They watched Fleetwood Mac, and they were just grooving to Bob Marley. It was amazing to watch people grooving to reggae music in a driving rainstorm. But we got done with our set, and I'm going, boy, these guys, they've got some connections here. They got the clouds to move. And what an amazing introduction to, you know, to touring the world with the band. It was amazing is the only word I can use for it.
Did you sit back and actually watch the other bands after you were done?
Oh yeah, got to go up side stage and watch the Marley personnel wouldn't let anybody past a certain point. Fleetwood Mac people were, it was all cool, it was all rock and roll, and we were up there, you know, checking them out and so on and so forth. But Little River Band had worked with Fleetwood Mac prior, so there was a history there. But to watch Bob Marley, you know, live 15 feet away was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I know that, and the crowds, the way they reacted to Bob Marley and the Wailers was just amazing.
Well, it's like literally music coming from another planet. I mean, Germany is a wonderful place, but there is, you know, Germany, Jamaica, they're two very different attitudes and climates and cultures and whatever. And it was really the German crowd was mesmerized by that whole presentation and the colors and the entourage on stage. I mean, there was something like 15 musicians and percussionists and women singers. It was just like a big Jamaican family got up on stage and started making this great music. It was fun to watch them, and it was a real education.
Now, Wayne, did you have music in your family, your parents, grandparents, musically inclined?
Always. I can't tell you about my grandparents. I don't think there was any music there, but my dad was a drum major in college, and so there was always, you know, percussion and marching music being played in the house. And my mom was very much into classical music, and both of them and myself sang in the church choir. They had nowhere to put me from age three, so I was part of the choir, you know, from that point on. And boy soprano, singing, then singing tenor, trying to sing bass with my dad up in the bass section. And so I was surrounded with music and local theater and stuff like that from a very early age. And you know, went to school and tried to focus on being a math major and all that stuff. And it just the music won out. When I wasn't doing it because of school, I was missing it, and so finally made the decision to go with it and trade in my books and take the bass and go into Chicago.
For folks that are out there listening that are younger and are thinking about maybe getting into a music career, what advice would you give them?
Wow. It's a completely different world than what it used to be with regard to, you know, having a band and a record company comes and hears you and signs you and so on and so forth. Now it's very much internet and social media driven, but nevertheless, two things I think are still very important. If at all possible, write your own music, because you'll never deliver somebody else's song the way you will yours. It's a thrill to have a song in front of people that they relate to immediately and they love. And they will hear your passion for it immediately. And the other thing is, in my case, I was playing and liked all kinds of music, so that versatility was something that became apparent. When the door opens for a job opportunity, you've got to be able to cover a few different styles and be versatile enough to do what the person brought you through the door to do. So practice is essential so that you know your instrument or you know your voice or whatever it is. Those two things, I think, are crucial, and if you stay with it, sooner or later, people are going to hear what you got, and that's the core to, you know, to moving forward.
That's a great, great piece of advice, and again, you know, the more instruments you master, the more you can be used in different bands. And the other thing is, of course, I have interviewed thousands of singers on this show, and the ones that were the happiest are the ones that wrote their own music, because not only did that feel thrilled to do that, but the money part of it, you know, when you're singing someone else's song, you're not making the money that you could if you wrote it. So that's another.
Well, that's absolutely true, and those kind of things are like dare we get what corporate or financial here, but it's like an annuity. If you write a song that registers with people and connects with people, that song will stay with you. And in the case of Reminiscing and Lady, all those airplays and downloads and so on and so forth, that continues to pay for that effort as you go through life. So it's something that stays with you, and that's, I think, one of the reasons it's so important to do that. Not only do you have the passion to do it when you're singing the song, but you're laying a foundation for your future at a point when you might not be able to go physically go sing that song anymore or get on the road. So very important stuff to do your own music.
And, of course, Little River Band has had so many hits. You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about the other day, and I was coming up with Reminiscing and Lady and stuff like that. You got Cool Change, Lonesome Lover, The Night Owls, Take It Easy on Me, Man on Your Mind, We Two, The Other Guy. All of them have charted. It's amazing.
It is. And again, knock on wood, we're very blessed to have had that great run of success in the late 70s and early 80s. And I'm not exaggerating, this happens every single night. Some people verbalize it when they come through the signing line or we're at a meet and greet or something like that. But usually during the show and then afterwards, you can actually see people turn and look at the person they're with and go, I forgot that one. Mm-hmm. And they're singing along and then, you know, somebody else will do the same thing, and then people will come through and go, I remember now, but at the time that those songs were playing on FM radio and they weren't back announcing who it was all just a mishmash of great songs, but you guys have had songs in the background of our lives for a long, long time. And every single show that I've ever done, somebody says those words, that they have forgotten how many songs the band had. So it's a good problem to have in our 40th year because, we still play them, and it's like a kind of like a scrapbook. People open the scrapbook, and they're singing along, and the years are the clock's moving as we go through the set. It's very cool to watch.
Little River Band has sold over 30 million albums and CDs, which is unbelievable. So if you want to go check out the Little River Band 40th Anniversary Tour, you can go to littleriverband.com and get all the tour information. It's fantastic. I hope to be able to check it out myself.
I do too. Anytime we're anywhere near you, please let us know, and you'll be on the guest list. It is a great fun show, and you know, there's a lot of bands going around that are in their 40th or 45th year, and they're kind of just go through the paces. That is not the case with our show. We get people singing, clapping, turn the show over to them for a little while and let them sing along. It's a lot of fun, and as emotional as some of our music is, we don't take ourselves seriously. It's about the music and interacting with the people that come to watch. So it's a fun night. Yeah, I you know, recommend it to anybody that is a lover of 70s and 80s music and that kind of melody and harmony. Come out and see us.
I just noticed one thing, though, that I did not notice before. When I was looking at the CD, the newer one, the Cuts Like a Diamond, I did not realize mm-hmm. that you produced it as well.
Yes. At a certain point, there were some of the people that we were talking about, the founding members, had they had given up on doing new music for Little River Band. They did not want to go through the process. There's rehearsal, there's recording, there's mixing, then there's promotion. After the CD is out, you talk to a lot of people and you play new music on stage and you have to learn it and get it right and hone it in. That's a long process. And there were members of the band that were done with that. They didn't want to do it anymore. When I left the band because of that, and when I was asked to come back, it was because there was new blood and people wanted to do new music. So since 2000, I've produced three or four of the band's records, and it sounds like a big you know, a big word. You're the producer. It really is a matter of going, lining up all the details, and getting the songs that everybody agrees to, and then looking for the best performances in that. It's not rocket science, but it is a long process. And as we've gone through it, I've learned more and more, and I'm very, very proud of Cuts Like a Diamond. It came out amazingly well, and it's a reflection of the band as grown-ups as opposed to, you know, young adults trying to, you know, carve their way through hit songs and so on and so forth. We just wanted to reflect life at this point in the band's career, and I'm extremely proud of it.
I like it. I think it's
performances from everybody. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's a great CD. And by the way, if you want to get all these CDs, you can go to littleriverband.com and order in their shop all their CDs. There's a lot of them out there. And you can start collecting all the Little River Band newer stuff maybe that you're missing. I have all the Little River Band stuff from the 70s to the early 80s. I have it all on albums. But there's new stuff that's out now, and it's great stuff.
Do you still play the albums? You still put them on a turntable?
I do, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that sound, is there?
No, and there's nothing like just sitting there and putting an album on. I just, you know what, it's really funny, though. My kids call them the big CDs.
That's funny.
Yeah.
The big black CDs, yeah.
Yep. But, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and hope to meet you one of these days, Wayne. And continued luck. Good luck with Little River Band.
Well, it was nice to meet you, too. And again, the offer's always there. If we're anywhere near, please just let us know and come see the show live.
I'd love to do that. You take care of yourself.
You too. Thanks,
all right, Mark. Bye-bye.